Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness.
The Bible contains remarkable stories of miracles and divine interventions. Moses parted the sea. Peter healed a man lame from his mother's womb. Jesus drove demons out of people and raised others from the dead. But are these types of events still happening today?
We too have a beam of divine light and guidance that God has put within the heart of every man. And it's one of the greatest proofs that there is a God.
More amazing supernatural things are happening than we realize.
This is Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. Divine Intervention was created and produced with the purpose of encouraging believers, spiritual seekers, and skeptics alike that Jesus is alive and is still performing miracles and working in the world today.
I believe in miracles.
Here's your host, Daniel Fazina.
Hello and welcome to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I am your host, Daniel Fazina, and I am so happy to be with you today. I am very excited to bring you an amazing miracle story of how God intervened in the lives of two gentlemen and changed them forever. I have the privilege of introducing you to Dr. Chauncey Crandall and Jeff Markin. Now, before I get into their amazing story, I want to read to you a passage from the book of Acts, and this is from Acts chapter 26, where the Apostle Paul has been brought before King Agrippa to speak for himself, and Paul says something very interesting to him. He says in verse 8, "Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead?" And I want to pose that question to you today as well. If we believe in God, that He is all-powerful, that He is the Creator and the sustainer of life, and we believe that He raised Jesus from the dead 2,000 years ago, should it be such a stretch that we believe He can still raise the dead today? Well, today we're going to be talking about just that subject, the raising of the dead. I want you to picture with me the following scene. It's the fall of 2006 in Florida. A middle-aged auto mechanic, Jeff Markin, walks into the emergency room at the Palm Beach Gardens Hospital. As he tells the nurse his name and starts describing his symptoms, shortness of breath, and chest pains, he collapses from a massive heart attack. The ER staff calls a code blue and everyone jumps into action. He's hooked up to multiple IV lines, given many different types of medications, and even shocked with the defibrillator 6 times before senior cardiologist Dr. Chauncey Crandall arrives on the scene to witness them shock him the 7th time. 45 minutes later, Jeff Markin is declared dead. Most of the staff leaves, and as Dr. Crandall finishes up his death report and is walking out of the room, he hears God tell him to turn around and pray for the patient. With that prayer and Dr. Crandall's instructions to give the man what seemed to be one more useless shock from the defibrillator, Jeff Markin came back to life, and he remains alive and well to this day. I have the honor of introducing you to both Dr. Chauncey Crandall and Jeff Markin to tell this amazing story in their own words and share how God brought them together and changed their lives through this amazing event. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Jeff Markin right now on Divine Intervention. Jeff, welcome to Divine Intervention. You are on, and thank you for taking the time out today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Awesome. I was so encouraged when I saw your story featured on YouTube a while ago, and I definitely wanted to share it with our audience. But before we do that, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background? What was it like for you, like growing up, and where are you from? And tell us a bit about yourself.
Currently, I'm 59 years old. I was born in Trenton, New Jersey. Grew up Long Island, New York, down called Massapequa.
Massapequa, right?
Spent 25 years of my life there. And basically, I was an automotive mechanic, marine mechanic during that time. And then in 85, my family, we moved to Jupiter, Florida, where basically I still live.
Okay. Do you have any type of like religious background, or were you a believer in God? What was your religious background like?
Well, I mean, I grew up Lutheran. And I mean, I have had God in my heart and my soul. But during my younger years, I grew up around a lot of hypocrites, and I kind of shied away from being a weekly worshiper and I kind of just believed in God and kind of prayed and talked to him at more or less as my at my own leisure.
Okay.
Because a lot of the people that I knew, like I said, were hypocrites. You know, they'd go to church on Sundays, and they were either physically or verbally abusive to their family and to their friends.
Hmm. Not a good example.
No, it wasn't, and it kind of turned me off.
I see.
So, like I said, I just kept God in my heart, my soul, and at my own level.
Okay. Now, something very dramatic happened to you, though, and I guess it was September of 2006. Tell us what you remember from that incident.
Well, I woke up like every other morning and got myself ready to go to work. You know, got in the car and drove off. And pretty much that's the last thing I remember on September 20th. As I was driving, I don't remember the drive, but I know what happened.
Okay.
Luckily, I had my phone, and I called my boss, told him I wasn't feeling well. And I guess the way I was answering and talking, he knew something wasn't right. So he persuaded me to drive down to the Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
So, I you know, that's where I ended up going and parked the car and walked in. And as I apparently was taking out my wallet, I collapsed on the floor in front of the security guard. And so she came and she tried to comfort me and at the same time summoned the ER team. And they rushed out and started to try to revive me.
Okay. And you have no waking memory of this?
Unfortunately, I don't. Okay. I wish I could tell people, you know, I was feeling this or I was feeling that, but everything was just total loss.
Okay.
So it was a miracle that, I mean, I'm driving and I didn't, crash and hurt somebody or pull off on the side of the road, because if any other scenario happened, you know, I wouldn't be here talking to you.
Absolutely. That's all right. We're going to get the perspective of what happened while you were out from Dr. Chauncey Crandall. He wrote the book Raising the Dead. If you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Jeff Markin, who is telling us the gripping account of how he actually died of a heart attack in Florida in 2006. Now, Jeff, you actually died. You were pronounced dead at something like 8-something in the morning. And now, do you remember what happened when you were gone?
Well, you know, again, I hear accounts of what was happening around me as far as the ER team trying to revive me and then, you know, calling and paging Dr. Crandall. You know, apparently I didn't know Dr. Crandall before, but, you know, the ER team heard or knew he was doing his rounds in the hospital that day. So they paged him to come on down and, you know, I hear through the grapevine a little bit that he, you know, he was busy, he was there, he's tired. You know, he ended up finally getting down there, and here I guess, you know, a good half an hour had passed already, and they weren't having any luck reviving me, and Dr. Crandall showed up. You know, he describes it was, you know, very chaotic.
Sure.
And I was starting to turn black with death. And he reviewed the paperwork, and, you know, it seemed like they had done all the proper protocol to try to revive me without any luck. So he was, you know, saying the call to death.
So you were actually declared dead, but where were you during this time?
Well, you know, like I said, the last thing I remember was leaving the driveway of the house that day and then waking up in my daughter's arms 4 days later.
Mm.
And during that time, I can't give you a precise timeline, but during that time, I remember being out of my body, and I was standing in the back of the funeral home, and it was empty, and that's when I came to realize that, you know, this is like, I died, and this was my funeral. And I wasn't upset that I died. Family or friends were there, and I'm going, geez, I thought I was loved. I saw a lot of people like me, and there's nobody here.
Hmm.
And, you know, it was funny. I mean, I didn't care that I had died. I was quite peaceful and content with that. But I was just like, where is everybody? You know? And there was like a presence. There was like a shadow presence to my right side, just behind my shoulder. I don't know what the images were, but I, you know, when someone comes up, stands next to you or beside you, yeah, that presence, and that's what I felt.
So there was someone there with you?
Or something was with me. And then the funeral home kind of faded away, and then I remember staring at this extremely undescribable bright white light.
Okay.
And they were all swirling over me. And all of a sudden, the lights stopped, and out of it, it was sort of like a sky.
Okay.
They're overhead of me, and out of these white lights from waist high, an image, a very nondescript image, came out of those lights. And he told me that he was there to make sure that everything was going to be taken care of, and I didn't really know what he meant. You know, it was sort of like a telepathical, you know, like, like talking to one another, but there was no, like, verbal speaking.
Did you know who or what this was?
No, I mean, it wasn't like you would say, like, an angel with wings, like you would see in an illustration. It was a very, no hair. It was sort of like large eyes.
Okay.
Very pale in complexion. But I didn't feel threatened by it at all.
Okay.
So if I had died, it would have to be my guardian angel was there to look over me.
Okay.
You know, that's the only thing I can say. And the reason I say him, and sometimes I'm a little reluctant, because some people, the doubters, this image identified himself as Bob. And some people figured it would be like a big spiritual or religious type of name. But he just said, you know, I'm Bob, and I'm here to look over you and to make sure everything's going to be taken care of.
That's interesting. I interviewed another guy. The angel told him his name, but he wouldn't tell me the name. He never reveals the name. He said, that's for me only. So I was thinking maybe it was like, you know, Gabriel or, you know, or Daniel or one of these biblical names. But, yeah, it could be Bob. Who knows?
Yeah, and like I say, sometimes in the beginning, when people would ask me about my testimony, I would freely say it, and then they would get this puzzled look on their face. So I started to really not announce the name.
Okay.
But anyway, today the way the conversation is going.
Well, this is divine intervention, so it's okay.
So, you know, that said he was there to look over me and to make sure that everything was going to be all right. And then he announced that he had to go, but he would be back. And as he kind of went back into the light, they all started to swirl around again. And again, I can't tell you a timeline. And then after a while, the light stopped. Bob reappeared. And he told me not to worry. Everything's going to be fine. And, you know, I'm going to have a nice life.
Hmm.
And with that, said he had to go again, and he just kind of sucked back up into the white lights. And then I went through like this choking or gagging feeling, and I found out they were trying to get me off the respirator, the breather, and get the tube out of my throat.
Hmm.
And as they did that, next thing you know, I'm waking up, and I'm in my daughter's arms, and she's telling me, Dad, you're in Palm Beach Gardens Hospital, and you had a massive heart attack.
Wow. And this was 4 days later?
Yep, 4 days later.
Wow. Now, tell me about your family at that point, because I thought I read somewhere that you didn't have the best relationship with them at that point.
I had divorced about 6 years earlier. And part of it was my wife at the time, Marianne. She was very religious and very spiritual. And she was kind of growing and going down that level. And my kids and stuff like that were all being very spiritual. And I was self-employed and, you know, just constantly working.
Mm-hmm.
I guess middle-age crisis and everything else. I started to travel down a different road.
Right.
And we decided to separate for a while, and then the separation led to a divorce.
Now, I understand that that they were praying for you, though.
My oldest daughter was contacted at work and ended up getting to a hospital, and she was taking care of all the business, and she contacted her mom and my other daughter, Brittany, and they ended up showing up at the hospital, and Marianne and Brittany, along with the security guard, ended up a prayer chain. And they were praying for me at that time.
Hmm.
And then my ex, Marianne, she was working at church. She contacted her friends. So the word spread very, very quickly amongst my friends and my family that, you know, I was in Palm Beach Gardens Hospital. And basically everybody was praying for me.
Hmm. And when you woke up, were you able to look at your body, and were you still cyanotic, they call it, or black, or had that gone away?
There was still parts of my hands and my feet, mostly my ankles, that were very black. I guess almost looked very bruised.
Mm.
And when I spent 10 days in ICU, I ended up having quadruple bypass, and it took a while. They had stabilized me with the stents and all and the drugs, but then they, about 3 days, 4 days after that, they, once the fever settled down, they ended up doing a quadruple bypass on me.
Wow. Friend, you are listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and our special guest today is Mr. Jeff Markin, who's telling us the gripping tale of how he actually died of a heart attack and was raised to life. So how long was it after you woke up that they told you the full story of what had happened with...
Well, actually, I had ended up getting settled after 10 days of ICU. I ended up getting settled in a regular, I guess, cardiac wing of the hospital. And Dr. Crandall came in and sat down next to me and started to tell me a little bit what happened. And he had to leave Jesus Christ into my life. And, you know, at first I was a little surprised hearing a doctor say that. But I said, well, yes, of course I'm going to accept Jesus in my life, my name. And, then he proceeded to tell me what happened by him, how bad the heart attack was, and that my hands and my feet were all turning black, and about him leaving the room and then being summoned back by the voice of God, and for him to come back in, and for God to bring me back to life, bring God into my life and raise me from the dead.
And, how did you react when you heard him tell you this story?
Well, it was, quite, he's like, me? This is something that I either watch or I hear about other people, not about me. And then the weight and the magnitude of what happened. And then he's telling me as he's praying for me, another doctor walked in, and then when the doctor walked in, he asked him to shock me one more time. Everybody was protesting, saying, well, he's been out for 40 minutes, and he's going to be brain dead and have organ problems and all this. And he says, for me, he says, shock one more time. And at that, they did, and with amazement, I pulled a regular heartbeat. Normally they say you go into like a defib,
mm-hmm.
but here I pulled a regular heartbeat. My chest and my stomach started to inhale. My hands started to move.
Wow.
And
That is amazing. I'm Daniel Fazina. You are listening to Divine Intervention Radio, and our special guest is Mr. Jeff Markin. If you want to read this story firsthand and some background also, check out the book Raising the Dead by Dr. Chauncey Crandall. This is an amazing story. And now, Jeff, when you came back and Dr. Crandall prayed for you and you asked Jesus into your life, and this is going back now 6 years or five and a half at least, how is your life different today now?
Well, you know, again, a lot of miracles had happened. You know, they didn't know exactly where I would be. They were expecting me to be basically a vegetable, go into a halfway house. A month later, I was in the hospital for a full month, and I ended up walking out of there.
Wow. Praise God.
Yep. And and knock on wood, I mean, I haven't had any neurological problems, no organ problems. 4 months after being discharged, I ended up going back to work full-time.
Wow. That's amazing.
And so, I, you know, the blessing is just unimaginable, you know, being so fortunate, and, you know, God shined on me this great blessing. And sometimes it's a little hard because you see other things and other people tragedy happens to, and
sure,
here I'm blessed to have, like you say, this blessing bestowed me to, you know, be that far. That's far gone. I mean, being dead, and then, you know, the power of prayer, you know, and I guess the power of prayer, the power of God, some medicine, medical, you know, it all just all came together on that day. And like I said, I'm just fortunate. I have brought God into my life, you know, on a full-time God now.
Full-time basis?
I go to church on Sundays or Saturday night with a, you know, special group of friends that I've developed.
That's great.
I go to a Monday night Bible study, and I'm still not educated. You know, I still struggle. I can't remember all the verses like some people do, but, you know, God is in my life, and I didn't want to, like, a knee-jerk reaction.
Sure.
So, like, all of a sudden, be born and, you know, go out there and get in everybody's face. I needed to walk a little bit and learn.
Sure.
And really bring the meaning of what happened into my life.
Sure.
Letting God touch my life. And so I ended up getting baptized, rebaptized, and dedicating God in my life.
That's wonderful. Well, you know, when we get born again, similarly to when we get born, getting born again only takes a few minutes, but growing in God's family takes a lifetime, just like it does in the physical. So, and I'm glad that you're doing that and you're walking with God, and it's a process, you know?
That was, it's my decision, you know? It
yeah.
Wasn't, somebody else didn't make the decision for me. I brought God into my life on my terms.
Mm.
And, you know, it was a mutual thing, and I brought God in with open arms into my life, and the light of God is just shining that I really don't have any fears in life at all. It's kind of strange because I've been on the other side, and
sure,
I knew how peaceful and how beautiful it was. I wasn't in any, I don't know, everything was just so comfortable and peaceful and quiet, you would say.
What do you think God was trying to tell you when he showed you your funeral and there was no one there?
I feel like I'm either supposed to witness something or be a messenger for something that he sent me back to. Well, one, I appreciate every waking moment I have.
Sure.
My friends, my family. I mean, Marianne, my ex, you know, she's remarried, but we're one big happy family. My daughters, everybody, you know, when the holidays come around, birthdays, any special occasion, we're all together. There's no drama in our lives.
Praise God.
Yeah. And so that's been a tremendous blessing. And like I just appreciate every waking moment that I have. It's a shame that a tragedy like that, by having a heart attack, made me come to that. And I almost wish that everybody could go through it and and survive it. And then you would really get a special appreciation out of life, enjoying the beauty that everything is around you.
Sure. That reminds me of a song. I don't know who sings it, but it's basically, it says, I wish you would get the opportunity to live like you were dying. I think what you said is so true. I mean, I've been, thankfully, I was healed of cancer. God did an amazing thing there. But the doctors told me I could very well be dead within a matter of weeks to a few months. And that was 10 years ago.
To have some life-changing, you know, incident like that, a heart attack, cancer, type of sickness that put you on the brink of it, to come back out of that.
Yeah.
It's a different appreciation of life and the people around you.
Sure.
Just tremendous.
So
I love, you know, having God in my life. Sometimes it's easy, and I have good God days, and other days, you know, I still struggle, you know.
Well, Jeff, let me ask you this. To anyone listening out there who may be struggling with doubt about God, maybe they don't believe in miracles or that God can raise the dead today. What would you like to say to them? Small question, right?
Yeah, one thing I found that, so I would say attend church or whatever your belief is, and it doesn't happen overnight. It's not like throwing a light switch and all of a sudden you expect I'm religious, and you have to work at it. I almost describe it as like an hourglass, that, you know, when you're with sand going through the hourglass, when you're at the top, there's a lot of free movement, a lot of things can go on, but the little bit closer you get to the center, you get closer to God, sometimes his standards seem very unobtainable. But it seems like once you receive God and you bring him into your life and you get through that hourglass and you're on the other side, life opens up again.
Right.
So, you know, experiment, go to different services, different parishes, to see what fits your comfort zone. And then I do enjoy reading the Bible spiritually, sometimes because of the history.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like if you listen to the tales of like Joseph being persecuted by his brothers.
Sure.
And, most sold, they were going to kill him, and then they were going to, and they sold him, and he was a slave to the pharaohs, and then ends up being raised to glory.
Right, right.
And it didn't happen overnight. It just went through. And that's the way I feel my life is a little bit, is I'm very blessed that what happened to me was 6 years ago.
Mm.
And I'm walking, I'm growing, and just sharing my testimony.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Buddy. I don't like to... I've had friends that have said that, if that happened to them, they would be on everybody's face. That's not me. I like people to come in. I'll share them my experiences and my testimony.
Well, I sure appreciate you sharing your testimony with me and with our listeners here on Divine Intervention. Once again, Jeff Markin, you can read about his amazing story. It's chronicled in Dr. Chauncey Crandall's book, Raising the Dead. And Jeff, I just want to encourage you to continue sharing your story. It's for a reason that God brought you back from the dead, to be a testimony, a light for him. So thank you again, and just keep sharing your story and letting your light shine.
Great. Yes, I appreciate you taking the time and talking to me, Dan.
No, it's not a problem.
Anything that I can do to help you or share with any of your listeners, feel free to call.
All right. Once again, that was Jeff Markin. Coming up, you're going to hear the perspective of Dr. Chauncey Crandall, the cardiologist who was on duty and witnessed this entire event and declared Jeff dead before God raised him to life. I'm Daniel Fazina, and you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio.
Things are about to change, and they never were the same. We're talking 'cause it's
Times are tough, not getting easier, but there's an opportunity that could make a significant change in your financial situation. People are paying too much for home utilities, and everybody has them. Help friends and family save money and get paid for it. No obligation. You don't even have to talk to anyone unless you want to. Just listen to a 3-minute recorded message. Call now, 203-717-3124. 203-717-3124. Listen, decide, and you could be on your way to a better tomorrow. 203-717-3124.
Keep holding on when
what's happening? This is Philly from Korn. You're listening to Divine Intervention with Daniel Pazina.
Welcome back to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I am your host, Daniel Fazina, and if you're just tuning in, we have been speaking with Jeff Markin. Before the break, he told us the gripping tale of how he died of a heart attack and was brought back to life by the prayer and medical intervention of a team of doctors, including the gentleman we're going to be speaking to, Dr. Chauncey Crandall. Dr. Chauncey Crandall is a cardiologist who has a thriving practice in Florida. He is also the author of the book Raising the Dead, A Doctor Encounters the Supernatural. And without further ado, it is my honor and pleasure to welcome Dr. Chauncey Crandall right now on Divine Intervention. Dr. Crandall, welcome to Divine Intervention. Thanks so much for taking the time to share with us today.
Well, thank you. I enjoy being with you.
Awesome. Well, it is an honor for me to speak with you. I was so excited to read the amazing miracle that God did with you and Jeff Markin, and we definitely want to get to that. But before we do, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your faith background, and your medical background?
Well, I guess first, medical background. I'm a cardiologist, an interventional cardiologist. We're down here in Palm Beach, Florida, and we're in a large group. We practice all levels of cardiology, really use the best of medicine and science to treat people, and believe in the power of medicine. But we're also a believing Christian, a believing cardiologist, so we use the power of prayer. And we combine medicine and prayer together, and we get excellent results because we believe in the power of God. We know that He is our Lord, He is our Savior, there is no other. And we call on the Lord daily, not only for the salvation of souls, but also to heal people that are sick.
I love that. That is awesome. You know, a lot of people think there has to be a separation between medicine or science and faith, and I love the fact that you're integrating them. Tell us a little bit about your faith background. How did you come to this place in your life?
Well, you know, this is a journey. All of us are on a journey, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, some are raised in fine family homes that are Christian, and others are not. I was raised in a church home. We went to church, but didn't have a strong relationship with the Lord. It was more of a religious experience.
Okay.
But at the age of 19, I accepted the Lord as Savior in my life. I was in Africa. I was on an anthropology trip with a college group, and we were under extreme circumstances, and I fell to my knees in a mud hut and cried out to God that I wanted to be saved, that I wanted to even get out of that camp alive.
When you say extreme circumstances, can you elaborate a little bit?
Well, I had a college professor we went with. We were below the Sahara Desert. It was during the drought, dry season back in the early 70s. It was somewhat extreme over there at that time and dangerous. And the professor was separated from the group, and I was with one other student, and we were alone for days at the age of 19.
Wow.
But I was going out with a girl back home, who's my wife now, and she had become a Christian a year earlier and had been praying for me, and she had been fasting for me that I would receive the Lord, and I did on that trip in 1972, and I was born again. I was saved.
Wow.
And for about the next 20 years, I was involved in Bible study, and I was involved in church and read the Word of God and prayed occasionally, but I was really never 100% sold out, or what I would like to say, radicalized for the Lord.
Right, but eventually this did change. I was reading your book, Raising the Dead, and you experienced a lot of interesting and supernatural things on mission trips down to South America and other places, and you came to believe in the power of prayer and miracles. And then you had a very interesting experience in the fall of 2006, and I want to take us there right now. Tell us what happened on that day. I believe it was September or October of 2006,
right,
in regards to Jeff Markin. What happened from your perspective on that day?
Well, I think we have to set it up a little bit. For a couple years, I had been praying for my patients. You know, this was a big move for me to actually praying for patients in the office. We don't see that often with physicians today.
Right.
So I had no role model to lock into. This was a journey that I had to make on my own, quietly and with the power of the Holy Spirit. But we had been praying for years. We had seen miracles out in the mission field and also back home here in the States through the medical practice. But this day was an unusual day. This was a day that was very busy, just like many of your listeners. I was involved in work, and early in the morning, a patient came to the hospital, Jeff Markin, and died of a massive heart attack. He was unresponsive for 40 minutes. He had no, respiratory movement. There was no heartbeat. And at the end of 40 minutes, he was declared dead.
Now, what I read, he also was turning black from cyanosis. Is that right?
Well, he was kind of a really extreme case of cardiac arrest because his whole body was cyanotic with death. I mean, it was black, and there was nothing else we could do. This man was clinically dead and been dead for at least 40 minutes with severe brain injury, possibly, and the code was called, and the efforts to revive him were aborted.
Wow.
And, everyone left the room except for a nurse who was preparing him for the morgue for viewing by the family. And I left the room after I completed my note, and as I walked down the hall, I heard the voice of the Lord say, "Turn around and pray for that man."
Now, Dr. Crandall, when you say you heard the voice of the Lord tell you to pray for this man, was this an audible voice you heard?
Looking back, it was probably a soft voice, internal.
Okay.
I would say I've heard a real voice, but this was more of a soft internal voice that nudged me to turn around and pray for that man. And I thought to myself, I can't pray for him. He's gone. He's dead. You know, what am I going to look like if I go back and I pray for this individual? So I continue to walk down the hall to see some other patients, and the voice came back again, "Turn around and pray for that man." And I stopped in my tracks, and I thought, what am I going to do now? I mean, I hear you, Lord, but I don't want to go back. I don't want to pray. You know, I'm going to look like a fool if I go back. But I did. I honored the word of the Lord. I turned around. I walked back to the room. I stood next to the body, and I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know how to pray. And I just stood there with the nurse on the other side of the body looking at me like, "What are you doing?" And through the power of the Holy Spirit, these words came out of my mouth. "Father God, I cry out for this man's soul. If he does not know you as Lord and Savior, raise him from the dead now, in Jesus' name. Those were the Lord's words. They weren't my words. Mm. They came from deep within. And all of a sudden, I really didn't have control of my right arm. It shot up. The other emergency room doctor walked in at that time and said, "What's going on?" And I said, "You need to shock this man one more time." He refused initially. And then, I persuaded him, let's do this one more time. But you have to imagine, all the IVs were disconnected, all the breathing tubes were already out of the patient. And this ER doctor honored my request, shocked the patient, and instantly a perfect heartbeat came back.
Wow. Friends, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. Again, I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and our special guest today is Dr. Chauncey Crandall. And he's telling us the gripping account of how a patient who had died of a heart attack has now come back to life. Now, Dr. Crandall, what was your reaction when you saw this perfect heartbeat come back?
Well, I think all three of us were standing in the room looking at the monitor. We were shocked. How can this be? What happened? How can this man be flatline and dead on his way to the morgue, and all of a sudden now we have a perfect heartbeat? How can this occur? What is going on? I think we were all shocked. We were stunned. And in fact, we didn't go back to work on the patient. We were just looking at the monitor like, I can't believe this. This is a miracle.
Now, in all of your years of practice, you've probably revived other patients, but what's the longest you've ever seen someone without a heartbeat come back?
Well, I've never seen anyone come back this long after an absent heartbeat. I mean, it doesn't happen.
Okay.
And if it does, they're usually brain dead. We call it anoxic brain injury.
Mm.
Then they, then they pass a couple days later.
Wow.
Mechanically, you've started the heart. But this man was definitely gone.
Right. And as was demonstrated in the first half of the show, we heard from Jeff Markin. He is back, and he is not brain damaged. He is perfectly fine and happy and healthy. And I understand, and from reading your book, that the nurse who was with you at that time thought it would be very bad to bring him back because he may have been brain dead.
Well, she screamed when he started moving. And then she said, "What are we going to do with him?" And we all were in this room. We didn't know what to do. Where do we go with him? What happens?
Hmm.
So we did take him down to the intensive care unit. And 3 days later, he did wake up. And I was there when he came about. And I asked him where he was that day that we prayed over him. And he gave an account of being in hell. And I was so disappointed, was his phrase that he repeated. And he was disappointed because he was alone for eternity and in complete darkness, and no one came to visit him, his friends, his family, his colleagues. And after being there forever, he told me that, these men came in and they picked him up and they threw him in the trash because he was worthless. He was worth nothing.
Wow.
And that's when I prayed with him to receive the Lord, to get born again, to get saved, to come into the kingdom of God, to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. And he did that right there in the intensive care unit in the ICU, and reached my hand out, and I held a salvation prayer, and he came to Christ that morning with tears coming down his face, with the glory of God on him. So, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Right. Heard his account. He actually described it as being alone, and then seeing the back of a funeral home and being disappointed that no one was there.
Yeah, it's important to document these circumstances and the stories with people that have been through similar events, because as time passes, they forget them.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff was in a dark room in a funeral home, actually in a casket. And then after the story, I came back the following day, and he described that he was ministered to by angels. That angel would come to him when he was frightened or scared or unsure during those days after that event, and reported to Jeff that everything would be okay.
That is amazing. So it's like when you're out of your body in that space, I guess, it's eternity. I mean, there's no time there, so it probably felt like eternity.
Well, there's no time. I mean, if you're not a believer in Christ, you're in hell forever.
Wow.
You're separated from God for eternity. Hell isn't just something that ends, you know, in a day or two. It's something, you know, forever.
Right.
You know, that's why it's so important for us to bring people into the kingdom of God and have our listeners know that Christ is real, that he's available, and that he can save your life, that you can be born again, born into the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen to that. Wow, thank you for relating that story. And I want to ask you, since this event, this very significant event in both your life and Jeff Markin's life, how has your life changed? How has it affected your walk with the Lord, your faith, and your medical practice?
It gives me great boldness for Christ to know that I know that I know that he is Lord, that he is real, that through the power of Christ that we can change all circumstances, and we must run to him, we must worship him, we must make him every part of our life, and that he is real. And so it gives me great boldness, and authority to walk into a patient's room and do the very best I can with medicine, but also call on the name of our Lord Jesus, that Lord, that Holy Spirit can come to that patient's room and he can do things that I can't do. Where medicine ends, you know, the Lord takes over. So that's the exciting news. And I can tell you there have been many circumstances where we really felt it was the end of someone's life for whatever reason, whatever disease or infirmity that that patient had. And we call on the name of the Lord and we proclaim him as Lord. And that case turns around, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, and that person lives. And often these are people that do not know the Lord and they come to accept Christ as Savior. But, you know, that was my life. But the important thing is, how did Jeff change? He was the one that wasn't saved. He was the one that was walking far away from the Lord, and his life has radically been turned around. The Lord gently and quietly and slowly has been changing Jeff, make him a very strong man for the Lord.
That's right. We heard from him the first half of the show, and Jeff is now going to church. He's accepted the Lord. He got baptized, studying the Bible, and he's just a very thankful and humble guy, and I love that. And he recognizes the blessing that God has given him.
Right. He is so wonderful. It's a wonderful relationship both he and I have. And I just love him more and more and more as the years go by because of this event.
Right, you know? Right. It's amazing.
We need to get him on the road so we can tell people about that, that we can have hope when things seem extreme, down and out, that we can call on our Lord. And if our Lord can actually raise someone up that has been dead, what can he do in your life?
Amen.
All these other things that seem extreme to you. There's nothing more extreme than someone being dead and calling on the name of Jesus and that person being raised up, transformed, changed. And now Jeff is proclaiming the Lord and people are coming in the kingdom of God.
That is awesome.
Because of his wit.
I just love the way God intervenes in people's lives and changes them. Sometimes, you know, when they're not expecting it. And I so appreciate the fact that you are integrating faith with medicine. I think that's so refreshing. My wife is a doctor, incidentally, and she prays for her patients, and she sees cases that look hopeless turn around. So we definitely believe in the power of prayer.
Right. We need to call on the name of the Lord for everything.
Right. And, you know, incidentally, real quick, I read about a conference for medical doctors where they go and present cases where God's supernatural intervention happens. Can you talk a little bit about that just in the last couple minutes we have here?
Well, you know, there is interest now. You know, physicians are coming forward now, and I want to let the audience know that, you know, many physicians in many countries are being persecuted. These are Christian doctors that treat the sick, but also pray for them. And because of their belief in the Lord, they are being persecuted. And many of them are being terminated from their positions. They're being put in prison. You know, this is a big problem internationally. But yearly, we do have a meeting called the Christian Medical Society. We meet with doctors from around the world that report cases of miraculous healings in the name of Jesus. These are scientists. These are heads of different departments at university. We collectively come together and present cases. And out of those cases, we pick the very best that we believe a true divine intervention has occurred, and then we, you know, release those to the public. It's so exciting for me to be with other doctors that are believers that proclaim Christ.
I can imagine. That is awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Chauncey Crandall, for taking the time out to share this amazing miracle story and a little bit about your life. I wish we had more time, but unfortunately it is up. Friend, I want to encourage you to get a hold of Dr. Crandall's book, Raising the Dead. It is a fascinating read, and it goes into so much more than what we were able to cover here. But again, Dr. Chauncey Crandall, thank you so much, sir.
Well, thank you. And, you know, they can find that book on Amazon.com. Just look up Dr. Crandall and Raising the Dead will come up. And I know you'll be blessed in many, many ways.
All right.
I just want to quickly tell you, can I just mention one other thing?
Sure, go ahead.
Indian doctor, a physician. He was a physicist. He read the book. The Holy Spirit touched him. And 3 days ago in my office, the Hindu Indian doctor came to my office and accepted the Lord as Savior in his life. Simply because of the power of the Holy Spirit working through that book, and now he is a believer in Christ.
Amen. Once again, the book is called Raising the Dead. Get a copy on Amazon or wherever books are sold. And our special guest has been Dr. Chauncey Crandall. Thanks again, sir.
Thank you so much. Blessings on you.
All right. Well, friends, that about does it for this episode of Divine Intervention. I hope this show has encouraged you to know that God is real, still doing miracles and raising the dead. God willing, we'll see you again next week for another exciting episode of Divine Intervention. Take care and God bless.
You've been listening to Divine Intervention with your host, Daniel Fazina. You can email Daniel at divineintervention@mail.com. That's divineintervention@mail.com. All programs of Divine Intervention are available online at divineinterventionradio.com. That's divineinterventionradio.com. Join us next time here on Divine Intervention.
I believe in miracles.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina of Divine Intervention Radio. The Bible contains some incredible stories of miracles and divine interventions. Jesus calmed a raging storm, healed paralytics, and even raised the dead. But are these types of events still happening today? The answer to this question, as you will see from reading my book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, is an emphatic yes. Contained within the book is a collection of amazing true stories that attest to this fact. You will read the astonishing firsthand accounts of people who have been healed of paralysis, terminal cancer, and tumors through prayer. You will see the love of God powerfully transform the life of an Islamic terrorist. You will witness the liberation of the demon-possessed, the resurrection of the dead, and much more. Prepare to be awed and inspired as you experience divine intervention. More information about Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, can be found at www.divineinterventionradio.com or by calling 800-247-4788. That's 1-800-247-4784. Divine Intervention welcomes the support of Latirzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants. Latirzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants, is a family-owned and operated Christian business serving their clients with quality accounting services for over 40 years. Offering full-service accounting for any type of business, large or small, in any state of the union. Latirzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 12 Oak Street, No. 5, West Hampton Beach, New York, 11978. Phone 631-288-3334. That's 631-288-3334.